Welcome to Halacha in a Year, where we can get to learn all the most relevant halacha through the prism of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. You are listening to Rabbi Yaakov Tram. This shiur is kindly sponsored by the Moshe Group and CA in Zuchus of Rivka Bela Bas Nechama Shifra and in honor of Rabbi Tram.
We now move into a very fascinating area of halacha, which is called Remembering the Mikdash. This is Siman Kuf V'achav Vav, which is 126 in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, and this really follows the halachas of Tisha B'Av because it refers to the idea of how we commemorate the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash in our ordinary lives during the rest of the year. We know that that when the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, Tzion Ein Dorish Lo Michlal Deboi Drisha, the pasuk describes that no one is seeking out Zion, so therefore it implies that it requires somebody to seek it out. Therefore, we have this notion of Zecher LeMikdash and Zecher LeChorban. These two separate ideas of remembering what the Beis Hamikdash used to look like and also remembering the destruction that was caused as well. So we have a number of practices which help us throughout the course of our regular life remember that we're not in the ultimate state of the world right now. Let's jump straight in. The first topic is decorating our houses. Are there restrictions on decorating one's house? So yes, it is forbidden for a Jew to build or decorate a house in a fully limed or plaster adorned like a royal palace. So it's just funny because, you know, Jews living in the Western society are influenced by Western values, which are making large and very elaborate looking expensive houses with lots of amenities. And so Jews falling into Western society in their assimilation to their Western society aspire to that value, but that is not allowed. You're not allowed to fully have a perfect house. So how should the house be? What should one do to avoid this? So halacha is one has to have an area in the house where one is not fully painted that area. It should be at least an amma al an amma, which is just a cubit 2 feet by 2 feet, which really needs to be not complete. And many people have the practice to have this in the entrance, in facing entrance of their house as a reminder that things are not perfect. We're not living in the ultimate reality as well. And the Kitzur asks why he sees that people don't observe this custom so much today, and he says there's no good answer. People need to observe this particular custom as well. I know of somebody who would not pay the last payment on their mortgage, just as a way of not being having that full sense of comfort and arrival in the diaspora, which of course is meant to be a temporary staying place for the nation of Israel. We move into our second concept, which is limitations on festive meals and jewelry. Most people have no idea about this halacha, but it is talked about directly in the Shulchan Aruch. The Kitzur codifies it over here. What restrictions apply when serving meals to guests, even at a meal which is a Mesudas Mitzvah? So I may not serve with all the dishes that are conventionally served at his meal as a reminder of the destruction. So one has to leave off certain vessels that one would have used at a meal as an indication that one is not fully engaged in luxury. Is a woman permitted to wear all her jewelry at once? So the answer is no. She should refrain from all of her jewelry at one time as a remembrance of the destruction. Today, in such an opulent world that we live, that it would be impossible for many women to wear all their jewelry at once. But in the days where there were a number, she only had a few pieces, she would not be able to wear all of them at once to avoid the expression of living in an arrived state. We moved to our third concept, which is customs at weddings and engagements. Many of these we are familiar with. What customs apply to the groom at the chuppah? So ashes are placed on the groom's head in the spot where the tefillin are worn as a sign of mourning. This is usually done before the chuppah, so people don't often see this, but this is that's the minhag. What is the custom regarding the bride's veil? So one should not have silver or gold threads in the bride's veil, which of course is again a sign of opulence and fullness of simcha, which we're not expressing. Jerusalem is always at the pinnacle of our celebrations. What custom is observed after reading the Tanaim and an agreement? So a dish, a plate, is smashed as a reminder of the destruction. What custom is observed under the chuppah itself? The groom breaks a glass as a further reminder of the destruction. Just remembering in the old days that Tanaim used to be done at the engagement party, which was at the beginning of the engagement, and the chuppah is at the end of the engagement. Today we bring together the two, but nonetheless, these are to diminish, to remind ourselves that this is not the ultimate, this is not the fullness of expression. Let's move to our fourth concept, which is the concept of music. Are musical instruments or general singing permitted for entertainment? So one is not allowed to listen to musical instruments or general songs is forbidden. It seems to be that people are more makil in this particular practice, but it should be a reminder that we're not supposed to be in a state of euphoria and nirvana all the time. We're supposed to be one step away. We're supposed to be not on all full cylinders because we're not in the state of redemption. What about singing? So traditional zmiros are permitted during the meals. It's just amazing to me how much the entertainment industry in the Jewish world has taken off, and like the Western society around it, and how much the songs and singing and entertainment and influences, you know, take center stage when we're really not supposed to be in that world. Which leads us to the last concept, which is the world of entertainment. Is attending animal shows or dances presented by non-Jews permitted? So one's not allowed to attend those. By these gatherings, and if one hears their festivities, one should sigh, agonize over Jerusalem's destruction, and pray for its restoration. That's a halacha, and you can now find and replace and put in whatever the entertainment of the day is, and it's the same halacha. May one attend an animal shows presented by Jews, so one is not allowed to. Animal shows even presented by Jews is forbidden. They're considered moishav leitzim, a gathering of scorners. What types of joyous occasion permits music and singing? So only a wedding, which makes a bride and a groom happy, permit the singing and musical instruments. However, even at weddings, one should not overdo the merrymaking. And finally, is excessive laughter permitted? The answer is excessive laughter is forbidden, even when performing a mitzvah. So a true laughter is only reserved for the time when there is redemption. Then our mouths will be filled with laughter. And it's amazing because today, again, the Jewish entertainment industry, it's like the Western entertainment industry. Jews just are looking to be entertained all the time, to laugh, to have comedians, to have magicians, to have shows. Think about, you know, all the cruises, and think about all the Pesach programs. The center stage of all of this is entertainment, and really we're not supposed to be in a state of enjoyment and entertainment all the time. That's what's called Zecher L'Churban. So taking a step backwards from getting sucked into that culture is an appropriate step for a Jew on many levels, not to be sucked into what Western values express the way we are supposed to pay and live our life for our lives. With this, we conclude. Have a wonderful and meaningful day.